We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's talk Wolverines hoops. Welcome to Inside Michigan Basketball. Over the next hour, we'll catch up with Juwan Howard and Kim Barnes-Arico for the very latest on Michigan men's and women's basketball. Now, alongside national champion Terry Mills, here's the voice of Michigan basketball, Brian Bush.
We have one bracket. We will have a second bracket here within the hour. Welcome into our final edition of Inside Michigan Basketball this season with a man who knows how to go all the way through the bracket in Terry Mills, the 1989 national champion. I'm Brian Bush, Michigan men's basketball, the number one seed in what is still being called the East Bracket. They will take on either Mount St. Mary's or Texas Southern coming up on Saturday afternoon. 3 o'clock tip-off, 2:30 for the pregame. We will have the women's bracket here during the hour, and we'll catch up at the very end of the show with Kim Barnes-Arico. But first, Terry, your impressions of this Michigan draw, Mount St. Mary's and Texas Southern in the first game, and then the 8-9 LSU and St. Bonaventure.
I really like Michigan's draw. I didn't see any issue there whatsoever. I just know one thing about when it comes tournament time, you have to get hot, have to be playing good basketball at that particular time. And, you know, when you talk with Coach Howard, whether it be, you know, off air or whatever, he understands the fact that, you know, you could play an opposing opponent and all of a sudden they get hot. And, of course, this is an underdog, you know, bracket. I mean, this is what people live for. They go for the underdog. That's what it's all about. And if you find yourself within, you know, 2 or 3 points and the underdog is right there in the last 5 minutes, things will start to turn on you in a hurry. But I really love Michigan's chances.
Yeah, and I mean, you saw it in the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State got to the championship game, and they could have lost in each of their first three games. Of course, Michigan fans still bummed out about the Saturday semifinal, but Illinois goes on to win it in overtime. It was a great tournament, a great event. Big Ten really well represented. 9 total teams. You've got 4 of the top 8 seeds. It's been a long drought for this league, Terry. What do you think about some of the other Big Ten draws you saw?
Yeah, I really think the Big Ten can really make some noise in this tournament. I like what Iowa's facing. I mean, just good a good bracket for them. Illinois, I really think, got a tough bracket, you know, to be honest to you. But they're playing good basketball right now, and I'm really really excited to watch that second round if it kind of pairs out that way with them playing Loyola Chicago. I think that's going to be something special there.
Yeah, no doubt. You know that the regional battles are certainly interesting. So I have a strange feeling you've got the top seed in the East going to the Final Four. Who are your other 3 Final Four teams?
I've got Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, and Oklahoma State. I just feel like those teams are playing extremely well. Not saying that anybody's going to underestimate Michigan, but I think Michigan has a lot to give. And if people are pretty much crazy, in my opinion, if you're overlooking them and saying, well, hey, Livers is out, hey, this is what's going to happen with Michigan. I think Michigan is really going to surprise some people.
I feel a little better about my bracket because that's my Final Four too. So that's very positive. I like when a national champ agrees with me. And you know what? It's an interesting spot to be in for Michigan because they're a one seed, but I do think they're the one seed that people are most frequently picking against. You don't have a lot of us against the world one seeds out there, but I do feel like Michigan is one of those.
Yeah, well, you know what? And it's going to be exciting to see Coach Howard, a guy who has been through the gauntlet, to actually coach that and motivate those guys and know what it takes to get to the Final Four. I mean, he's been there back-to-back, so he really has a grasp on it. And I think he'll do a good job in motivating those guys and letting them know that, hey, it could be one against 16, but guess what? This team gets hot and we're going to be in trouble. So take care of your business early and treat every team the same.
Well, let's talk with head coach Juwan Howard. He's coming up after the break. A little bit later, Alex Wong, the Wolverines' great athletic trainer, to discuss Isaiah Livers and also how Eli Brooks got back into action against both Maryland and Ohio State in the Big Ten tournament. And at the end of the show, Kim Barnes-Arico reacts to Michigan women's basketball seed and matchup in the NCAA tournament. Today's broadcast is presented by Abso Pure, the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. And we'll come back with Coach Howard after this from Learfield, IMG College. We're back here on Inside Michigan Basketball, and today's broadcast is presented by Abso Pure, the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. Great to be joined by the head coach of Michigan men's basketball, Juwan Howard. And coach, you're watching Selection Sunday. You see that block M. You see Michigan on that one line. If you could, take us through your emotions of that moment and the embraces with your team thereafter.
You know, it was exciting time, you know, just to sit there and watch our players and staff and managers who worked so hard leading up to this point, looking forward to having a season and, you know, a lot of different things that went on while we was trying to have a season and the adversity that we faced. But then, you know, playing each and every game, not knowing if you're going to play a game, but then having success with that. And then now get to the end goal is to win a national championship and be a part of the NCAA tournament and being selected number one seed. It's a beautiful feeling. And it was just great to see the excitement on everyone's faces and when we were announced as the number one seed in the East region.
Yeah, Coach, I'm going to have you a little bit later kind of take me down that road of what it's like being in the bubble down in Indy. But first I'd like to know is I know you jumped right on the grind. How did the practice facility situation work out?
Yeah, like by being in this bubble, because it's not a soft bubble anymore. This is a true bubble. We have the NCAA has put together a really nice setup where in the convention center here in Indianapolis, they have, if I believe, four courts that is used for practice. So teams can come in and practice, and you have a time slot where you can come in and use that available time for you and your team. But once that, right for today, for example, we have an hour and a half. So once that hour and a half clock stops, then you got to get off the court and let the other team come on. So we're looking forward to, getting some shots up, get the blood flowing, seeing the ball go through the net. But at the end of the day, getting better, that's the key. We want to use each day to get 1% better so we can be prepared to face our first opponent on Saturday.
Well, let's get into the bubble a little bit. What was it like over these last 48 hours or so from the end of the Big Ten tournament? And how important will Zoom have to be a more focal point than maybe during the season when it was, as you said, a softer bubble? Will you have to do some video work through Zooming over the next few days?
Well, we're still learning as we go, but if I can answer that right now, I think after this 12-hour bubble thing ends for us, we may have a little bit of normalcy. And what does that encounter? Well, that says that, we can now interact with one another, get out of our rooms, but stay in the hotel area, maybe meet in, ballrooms, sit down and eat as a team. But that's what I know right now. Everything is still TBD. So, we're learning as we go, but we want to make sure that we, and which we will, We're going to follow the proper guidelines that's in place that the NCAA want, you know, all teams to abide by, just to make sure that, you know, we continue to keep, you know, doing what's possible to keep our season going, because we're not out of the clear. You know, we're not back to any normalcy. We're still trying to play basketball during the pandemic.
Yeah, Coach, we were talking about practice facility. I thought that you were really going to be tested. I was going to take you back down memory lane about, you know, how we know how Pat Riley is, and get those managers out there and get the exact dimensions of the tape on the floor, making the top of the key. That was something special. You know, my first go around with that was like, these are the exact dimensions of a basketball court.
Well, Terry, you know, it's funny you say that. Like, you know, for our like morning walkthroughs, when we're in the hotel and we can't have shoot around, you know, we tape up the floor, man. And, you know, when I say we, I got to take myself out of that. You know, the managers, you know, that's how special they are. Their team, managers basically do a great job of taping the floor, the ballroom floor of a basketball court. And by the way, they will, you know, use the wall as a rim, you know, even if the, you know, the height of the ballroom is not, you know, 12 feet high or whatever, if it's 7 feet high, they're going to, you know, put a basketball hoop up there with a net. And they're so creative, but the details is so like special. So it's just great to, you know, it's hard to really explain it. You know, I got to show you guys maybe one day on picture from my phone, just so you can see how special our managers make everything work, so we can have like a ballroom walkthrough or a practice like setting to keep our guys, you know, just in tune to the details of, like, you know, offense and defense when we're trying to get better, because, you know, every time, you know, we're on the road, we don't have a gym that's always available. And people may think that, you know, there's so many basketball gyms, you know, in across the country, but we don't have access like people may, you know, can imagine.
Well, if it's anything like a couple years ago, I know the managers even did the March Madness logo at the center circle. So I think you're in for a plenty of cool stuff from that perspective. Speaking of taking us down memory lane, what are the most vivid memories for you from the NCAA tournament when you were playing, and what are your players about to experience? This is different. This is a stage that so few get a chance to play on, but it's so, so special. So what do you remember when you think back to your time?
Well, I remember the excitement from just the lead up to the games of, you know, all the naysayers, you know, and all the, you know, people predicting, you know, like what the, you know, who will win and who would advance and who would be the upsets and all that. I remember that. I also remember like family members and friends coming out to support. And you also have like your alumni, the student body traveling with you, seeing Amazing Blue it like in a hotel, sitting on a bus and watching like the Amazing Blue out there greeting you before you walk on a bus. And when you pull off heading to the gym, they're out there cheering you on. I also remember our practice setting where, you know, when you go out there to practice, the press is out there, and you know, you have like, you know, fans out there in the stands watching you practice. I also remember the games and the excitement of the games and how, you know, very competitive and the energy that's coming from the building. And then last but not least, you know, I remember the Final Four, and I remember the championship playing in the domes. You know, I remember just like it was yesterday, and I can take it back to the preparation of how the coaching staff would pivot. Like, when not knowing like who you're going to play the next game, and they all had scrambling to get game film from the opponent that you may be facing in like less than 48 hours. So it's a very intense situation. I know our players are looking forward to this opportunity because they all have been working extremely hard. They've been reminded about how important it is. They've been reminded about the end goal, and now the day has arrived. But we just got to take one game at a time, and that's what it's all about. Just winning your first game and not looking ahead.
Yeah, Coach, speaking of bracketology, before you came to head coach, how good were you at bracketology? I remember when those brackets used to float around in the locker room. And actually, I won a couple times. When you guys went to the Final Four back-to-back, I actually won a couple times. I'm just kind of curious on how good were your brackets when you weren't a head coach.
Well, before I answer your question, I want to ask you, like, when you chose us back when I was in college, were you choosing Michigan because of your heart and your loyalty to Michigan, or were you choosing because you really felt that, like, our team was good enough to win, to make it to the final?
I really felt you guys were good enough to win it, and also my heart. You know, people always ask me, you know, what's your record at Michigan? I say my record is the same as Michigan because, hey, every game I feel like we're going to win. I don't care who's coaching or whatever it is. And if you ask me, hey, Michigan, and we're like, well, what's your record? The same, whatever Michigan's record is what my
record
is. Hey, I'm 20-4 this year because this is what it was, you know?
Right. Loyalty, man. I feel amazing blue.
You got it.
And the reason why I asked that question, because to answer your question, you know, going back year after year, you know, there are a couple of times when I have been like the runner up or I was third place. And whenever it came time to choose Michigan, you know, I always thought with my heart when it came to Michigan. And that at times that has hurt my bracket. But there have been plenty of times, you know, recently that I have done well because of Michigan. And so and then we go by a point system, too, because Shane Battier, when I was with the Miami Heat, you know, he had like some type of point system that how he grades it. And, you know, I didn't really understand the point system, but it was very creative and fun. And I was able to, you know, hang in there and win a few dollars, you know, because, you know, we throw a little money in the pool, man. You know, that money goes a long way. You know, when it comes to a road trip, when you go on the NBA, you're about to grab some dinner. You know, I have a lot of change in my pocket.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny that you say that, you know, it's things like that.
Right.
Before anything, like, man, you got it in your pocket. You can go get it. But
right,
that just meant a little bit more that I knew a little bit more than you knew.
Yeah. It's like that competitiveness, man. Like that competitiveness never goes away, no matter what you're doing, whether it's playing cards, whether you got your bracket for your NCAA, or you know, if you're just talking about like, you know, hey, let's go out there and shoot some basket for, you know, for some money. You know, it's just the competitive juices never stops.
For competitors only, that's for sure. We'll come back and chat with Juwan Howard a bit more here on Inside Michigan Basketball. Tonight's episode is presented by Absopure, the official bottled water of Michigan Athletics. You're listening to Michigan Basketball from Learfield, IMG College. We're talking to head coach Juwan Howard live from the bubble in Indianapolis here on Inside Michigan Basketball. Today's broadcast presented by Absopure, the official bottled water of Michigan Athletics. And coach, of course, you talked to us before the game on Saturday that it was going to be a collective effort in trying to replace Isaiah Livers on the floor. Now you've had a chance to see that game a couple of times and watch some of the film. What'd you see from some of those young men who did come in to replace him on the floor? And how is that process evolving of trying to figure out the puzzle of playing without Isaiah out there?
Well, we got some good minutes from everyone collectively. If you want to talk about guys that came off the bench, yes, John D. Brown played well. Brandon, you know, came off the bench and was in the starting lineup. You know, he gave us some really big minutes, especially in the first half, you know, versus, you know, some of the mismatch opportunities that, you know, I wanted to really take advantage of when, you know, I saw Aaron's guarding him and then also Seth Towns guarding him. You know, Brandon did a really good job of posting up. And if he didn't get score, you know, he truly went to the free throw line and scored from the free throw line. Terrence Williams came in and gave us some really solid minutes. Very savvy, knows how to play. Showed a lot of confidence for a freshman during a very pressure situation like that. You know, and Terry knows this. You know, it's not easy to do. A guy who hasn't been in the rotation, not consistently in the rotation, but still to be able to come in, you know, a game like that, high-pressure game, big moment, and to be able to give us some lift like that, it was huge. And then Austin Davis, I mean, he's just as steady as it come. But, yeah, it wasn't the points that the bench provided versus Maryland, but it was the little things that, you know, that those guys did, the winning plays that they made. And unfortunately, you know, we came up short with 1 point loss. We didn't shoot the ball like how we normally would shoot it. But defensively, I saw some really good things, and I saw that level of competitors only that we've been talking about since day one before we started our first practice, that our guys came out with that grit and grind there were a lot of great things that I took from that game that, you know, I see that our guys are they're competing. They're competing hard.
Yeah, Coach, you said you elected to start Brandon Johns Jr. Just kind of curious on what you actually seen, because I'm kind of like the Swami of the radio crew. Before the game even started, it was like, well, Sean D's probably going to start. I said, nah, I think I would probably start Brandon Johns Jr. And then all of a sudden when it came down, I said, I told you guys I knew what I was talking about. You know, I knew he was going to start him. But what did you actually see?
Yeah, like I just touched on, like, you know, his, you know, the offensive rebounding was great. Also seeing his toughness, you know, in the interior on offensive end. With his back to the basket, being able to mix it up, because, you know, Big Ten basketball is physical, and that's one thing that some people, you know, don't talk about enough about Brandon is, you know, he's a very athletic, physical forward that is versatile in a lot of ways. But, you know, he's going to get better, and he's going to continue to get better no matter what.
Yeah, Coach, got an opportunity to watch the two teams play before you actually go up against them with Mount St. Mary's and Texas Southern playing on Thursday. Can you kind of give me a comparison to probably maybe a team you might have played against this season or last season that this team is kind of compared to? I'll start with, like, St. Mary's.
Yeah, Mount St. Mary's, a team that I would say that you can compare them to that we faced this year, Bowling Green, but not as – Don't have the shooting like Bowling Green has, but doesn't mean they can't shoot.
Right. Yeah, we know how the tournament works. All of a sudden,
yes, sir.
They can shoot all of a sudden. So,
yeah, you know, teams get hot on you, you know, our thing is we want to make them uncomfortable.
And what about Texas Southern? What do you see as far as a comparison to Texas Southern?
Yeah, Texas Southern. I'm still halfway through. Some film with Texas Southern. So I'm not, you know, I can't give you a true assessment at this moment.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate the time. We'll keep visiting with you before and after games, but this is the final radio show of the season. Thankful for all the insight you gave. I know it's been a hectic year and you're tugged in a lot of different directions, especially this season. So we thank you for all of that. And no offense, we want you to stay in Indianapolis for a few weeks. We don't want to see you back in Ann Arbor for a while.
Yeah, bro. I appreciate that because I want to stay here for a very long time until April 5th because if I have like a lot of clothes, plenty bags of gear that, you know, I saved up for, just, you know, making sure that I'm okay for this duration. So I'm not in a rush to come home at all. You know, as much as I love Ann Arbor, Ann Arbor can be on ice for until April 6th when we come back. And our goal is to, you know, bring back the trophy and to cut down the nets. Thank you guys all this, you know, this year for all the patience and all the hard work that you guys have put in to make this show work. I'm sure the listeners really appreciate, you know, your efforts and keeping them you know, locked in and in the know of what's been happening this season. And you know, you guys are very, you know, special to the group. They was handing out any type of award, so I know you guys would be first in line. But I enjoy working with you all. Stay safe, fellas.
You as well, Coach. We'll see you back here on April 6th.
All right, guys.
There's head coach Juwan Howard. We'll come back with Alex Wong, Michigan's trainer, as this episode is presented by ApsoPure, the official bottled water of Michigan Athletics. You're listening to Inside Michigan Basketball from Learfield, IMG College. We're back here on Inside Michigan Basketball, and it's great to be joined by Michigan's outstanding athletic trainer, Alex Wong. And Alex, we were joking before we took the air here. You know, you were kind of in the periphery for most of the season, which is a good thing. You're getting a lot of airtime lately, which I know you don't want.
Yes, correct. It's never a good thing when you get the text from family or friends saying, hey, we got to see you. It was great seeing you on the court, or, you know, wow, we did get to see you a lot that game, because obviously in the athletic trainer role, that means that I had to tend to an injured athlete, which is obviously never good. But we definitely have had a little more activity the tail end of this season. And obviously we're very fortunate to have a very healthy front end, and then just long season, unique season, and just stuff happens. And obviously we have a great group, and they handle it well. So we're doing the best we can, especially now officially in the controlled environment for the NCAA tournament.
So let's start with Eli Brooks. Take me through that process of when he goes down at Michigan State, where, you know, on the surface, it looked like he was in a lot of pain. He doesn't put any weight on that ankle as he's walking back to the bench. Take us through that moment until he's able to get back on the floor. What were you looking for, and how did he kind of help with the process of communicating what was feeling wrong and how he got back to the flow of play?
Sure. Obviously, you know, a traumatic injury to that ankle. And so when you go out, and he definitely falls in, you know, one of our tough athlete categories, as do most of our guys. But, you know, if Eli says he's definitely hurting or there's some discomfort, there's a little heightened awareness there, because he's definitely, you know, willing and able to push through and deal with some stuff. So get him off the court. And the nice thing is that, you know, with all of our Big Ten schools, we all ultimately rivalries set aside. We all just want athletes on the court participating, and Michigan State continues to just be a great group of medical professionals. And so their staff helped facilitate just some quick imaging on site. So no major, you know, red flags there. And then we got him back. And then just in conjunction with our team physicians, you know, just started working through the evaluation process, additional imaging. And once we, you know, reviewed that, talked with Eli and coach, obviously we made the decision then to allow a progression and a return to play, and he responded well to treatment, and just a very stepwise progression. And then obviously he, when he returned, he always is, but especially this weekend, was a great contributor to the team.
The phrase that was thrown around was the prehab that you and John Sanderson help with in advance of anything that could potentially pop up. What does that do, and how does that help in these situations when a player does get injured?
Sure. Yeah, John Sanderson does a great job upstairs in the weight room. And then downstairs, they can do some supplemental and complementary stuff with me, specific to, you know, injury prevention stuff. And yeah, it just allows their body to really adapt to stress, and hopefully just proprioception wise, really engage, you know, muscles and deal with kind of being in an injurious position, and hopefully mitigate that so that it doesn't become as extreme if their body's not kind of prepped for that. So we do a ton of stuff, you know, with their tape and braces off, shoes off, et cetera, and just try and put them in a lot of unstable positions and, you know, really get their bodies functioning at a high level.
With the pandemic, how has that changed and forced you and John and others on that support staff to tweak what you do? I know there's added responsibilities with helping facilitate and communicate results of COVID testing. So how has that affected some of that, you know, one-on-one close contact that you have to do? You can't do your job from 6 feet away in a lot of cases.
Sure. No, exactly. And that's where, you know, just being very diligent with, you know, masking at a minimum. Obviously the social distancing can't occur when you're, you know, doing a hands-on treatment, therapy, and rehabilitation. And then the weight room, same thing. They do a great job with being very mindful of all the mitigation strategies that we have in place. And then, yes, as far as myself, with some additional testing responsibilities falling on all of our athletic trainers, you know, John and I just continue to have great communication. And, you know, if he needs to absorb some of the additional, you know, prehab activities and start to integrate some things, just because if I get a little bit of a time crunch as a result of, you know, testing and or following up on just some other items, you know, we try and balance, you know, the team practice schedules, a lifting days and an injury prevention day, you know, et cetera. And we just try and maximize our time together, and then also just be efficient so that we don't, you know, that unique year where guys can't hang out in the locker room as much, and some of those camaraderie factors that come into play in a normal season, you know, again, we're trying to be efficient and effective with their time in the building.
We're with Michigan men's basketball athletic trainer Alex Wong here on Inside Michigan Basketball. We'll talk Isaiah Livers when we come back. You're listening to it from Learfield, IMG College. We've We've got one more segment with Alex Wong, Michigan men's basketball athletic trainer here on Inside Michigan Basketball. Today's broadcast presented by Absopure, the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. Well, Alex, Isaiah Livers. First, can you take us back to when the injury initially happened? Isaiah told the media the other day it was in that first meeting, coincidentally enough, against Maryland. So what it had been like for you and for him to kind of manage that? Because to a naked eye, he was still playing very well. It did not seem like there was much that was bothering him.
No, sure. I think over the course of the year, guys will get bumps and bruises and get, you know, sprains or strains of a varying degree. And so Isaiah, unfortunately, has kind of battled some minor and some kind of lingering items over the course of the year. But again, he's another great, incredible individual on our team. And so he's very diligent with his treatment and checking in and just being responsible and taking care of his body. And so, you know, you're absolutely correct. You know, he's been playing well, functioning at a really high level. And then just again, over the course of the year, you know, just start to get a little bit of breakdown and or just an accumulative effect of other small things happening. And, you know, and then unfortunately, he was just having enough discomfort with our entry here to Indianapolis that, you know, ultimately we ended up, you know, not playing him, you know, anymore, and then just needing to investigate further.
So during that stretch between the Maryland and the Ohio State games in the Big Ten tournament, of course, I know Isaiah found out that night that, you know, it was going to have to be a shutdown. He was going to be out indefinitely. What's that conversation like? And what are you telling a competitor like him? I'm sure he's asking, when can I play? When can I get out there? So what's that communication process like from the outset of, hey, we're going to have to shut you down, to now?
Sure. I guess the only positive in this current world and setup is with all the, you know, whether it be Zoom or FaceTime or other kind of verbal communication. Definitely everyone's very easy to get a hold of. And so we, you know, make sure to communicate with all of our team physicians, review the imaging, et cetera. And then, yeah, that's never an easy conversation, especially when you're talking to a senior. But overall, and from the head coach down, it is player health first and foremost. Of course, it's a tremendous loss for the team, you know, even in the short term, but then more so, you know, just for him. And so everyone just feels terrible that, you know, not being able to play, at least as of now. And so, yeah, that conversation, you know, from the athlete to the head coach to parents, et cetera, just to make sure that the messaging is accurate, the messaging is complete, and then to know that, you know, we, the medical staff, are here to continue to field questions and just support Isaiah the remainder of this season, and then obviously, you know, whatever next steps he ultimately decides to take.
He did not close the door when he was talking to the media about trying to come back this season. And I'm sure you've had plenty of players like that who, yeah, if you give them a timeline, they want to try to beat it. If I asked you, hey, when can Isaiah come back and play? You probably don't have the answer. And if you did, you wouldn't tell me. But in terms of a checkpoint type situation, what are the early checkpoints for a stress injury of Isaiah's current situation? Is it get rid of the walking boot and then be able to warm up and practice a little bit? What are some of the checkpoints you're looking at from the early stages to get you maybe closer to that answer?
Sure. With any injury, you just want to make sure that there's some functional activity can be maintained. So, you know, can he even walk pain-free? You know, before we even fast forward to running and set shots, jump shots, you know, shooting drills, et cetera. So it's, yeah, getting that pain down, certainly getting him out of the walking boot. The NCAA has worked very diligently to create a kind of a mobile athletic training room in the convention center. So there's a number of modalities and resources there where we can, regardless of his return, we'll work very aggressively to get him healthy just in general. So we'll employ all the items that they have over there. And then you're right. It's just a matter of, you know, a walk jog progression to a jogging progression to shooting to planting, et cetera. And so just a return to play. But again, it all starts with, you know, can he, you know, walk pain free? Can we get him out of the boot, et cetera? So just really follow his symptoms and allow his body to heal. And again, keeping in mind, you know, long-term health, as hopefully, you know, whenever that is, he pursues, you know, all the great basketball ahead of him.
Great stuff from Alex Wong, Michigan's athletic trainer on the men's basketball side. We appreciate the time. Enjoy the bubble. We'll look forward to seeing you and the team out on the floor on Saturday.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Today's broadcast is presented by Abso Pure, the official bottled water of Michigan athletics. Up next, Kim Barnes-Arico. We know the Michigan women's basketball seed. We'll tell you about it next from Learfield, IMG College. We are joined by the head coach of Michigan women's basketball, Kim Barnes-Arico. Coach, congratulations. They made you wait a while, but what was it like to see the Block M come up on that screen?
Yeah, well, I was getting a stomach ache. I've had a bad experience one time, and I don't know if I'll ever get over it. So I was getting a stomach ache for sure waiting till that last bracket. I was next to the Kenray and Nas, and Nas asked if she can have the catapult on her right now to test her heart rate because it was that high. So it was pretty stressful, but, you know, we were so excited when our name was called.
So you think back to where this season has had to go. Think back to all that you've had to overcome. If I would have told you at the start of the season, Coach, you would be with your team, masked, but celebrating a berth in the NCAA tournament, I mean, I have to imagine, no matter what the seed, no matter what the circumstance, you would have taken that. Is that fair?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Because we've been in a position last year where we didn't have the tournament. We were in a position a few years ago where we didn't get selected. So, you know, for us to be selected and a chance and an opportunity to continue playing is great for our program and our players.
So now what is the process like? I hear you guys are leaving for San Antonio Wednesday. Is that correct?
Yes, we believe so. Yep. We're waiting to find out. We haven't gotten any of that information, but hopefully we'll get it soon.
And from that standpoint, I know it's always unique regardless of the pandemic-related season. So now, between now and travel, what are you and your coaching staff trying to get ready for Florida Gulf Coast? What's that scout process like, especially in the infancy?
Yeah, you know, Florida Gulf Coast is a great program. They're a program that we played a number of years ago in the semifinals of the WNIT. They're a team that has won 24 straight games, or maybe 26 straight games, I think, actually. So they have a really good team. They play a system of five out and just shoot threes and back cut. And if you can think about this number, they've shot 996 threes this season compared to their opponent's 440. So they really fire threes. And the next couple days are just going to be, you know, focusing on how to defend that and how to make sure that we're contesting their shots.
That's pretty quick research there from you. I mean, after you celebrating on the screen, are you Googling them? What's going on there?
We don't mess around. I have a tremendous staff, and they're hard at work. And they were actually, you know, as soon as we were called, they were to work getting me. They didn't get me too much, just their stat sheet, which is a start. And they're downloading films right now and working on getting the rest of that stuff so we can all get to work.
In that moment when you find yourself on the, you know, on the bracket with the Block M, in that situation, did you have a chance to chat with all your players? What was the conversation like with Nas, with AK, with Haley, some of the others?
Yeah, I mean, just the excitement and the enthusiasm, and never take that for granted. And just also, you know, wanted to give a shout out for the players that came before them that helped build this momentum and helped build our program to what it is today, because we couldn't have done it, you know, without the people that came before. So, you know, just grateful for the opportunity that we have continued to play, and just excited to hear our name called and to be a part of the NCAA tournament.
Your impressions of some of the other Big Ten seeding? You had to look and see where most of the Big Ten teams were seeded before you found out yours, but did you feel like the Big Ten was represented well and the strength of this league bared out on that bracket?
Yeah, I think the strength of our league definitely was represented. I thought we had a number of teams, which was great to see. You know, obviously I would have hoped that, you know, we would have maybe had some some higher seeds, but I think that's going to take time. I think we, you know, just have to continue to be successful in the tournament as a league for us to be recognized as some higher seeds. But it was nice to see Maryland get it too, for sure.
So now you talk about the travel and what it will be like to go down to San Antonio. You got a little bit of a taste of it in Indianapolis. What was that experience like? I know the game didn't go the way you wanted it to go, but what was that experience like getting a chance to play in front of a little bit of a fan, a little bit of a crowd? What was all that like, and what can your team glean from that?
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. No, it was great to play in the Big Ten tournament, and we did have some fans, although they were a little hostile. They were chanting, and, you know, we had an opportunity in the Big Ten tournament to play an opponent that we had played for the third time this season, so they kind of knew us inside and out. So I think it's going to be great for us to have an opportunity to play someone that we don't see all the time.
And also in your little pod, if you will, you guys will have the 3 seed in that portion of the bracket, Tennessee and then Middle Tennessee State. And obviously you're focused on just that one game against Florida Gulf Coast, but you also have to distribute some sort of responsibilities to other assistants, correct? I mean, you have to do some advanced scouting on them as well.
Definitely. My assistants, they'll probably be here for a late night. And my video coordinator, Dan Dardarian, he's been getting all the film and everything else. And the assistants, everybody knows, all hands are on deck, and everybody's going to be working hard to get all of those scouts ready to go. Here they come rolling in as I'm talking to you about it. So they're ready to go. They've been prepping, and they're excited to get started watching some film.
Well, we don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do lastly want to just touch on and get your thoughts on the health aspect of all of this and what it's been like to daily testing, to work with medical personnel, to go through everything your team has gone through. It's already a big family when it comes to Michigan basketball and who and what it takes to get to this point. But I feel like because of this pandemic, it's expanded more. This team would not be able to have gotten to this point with some of the medical experts and some of the help from that aspect. Can you just talk to what that process has been like and to some of the people who have been so instrumental in making that happen?
Yeah, it's been incredible. And actually, like, from day one of the pandemic, I think that's kind of, you know, a Michigan separator for sure, is our resources and our commitment to the health and safety of our student athletes. And our university has done a tremendous job making sure the student athletes' health and safety is first and foremost. And we have an incredible team of people that do that every single day. And obviously that starts with our trainer, who's just been fabulous, but, you know, also our medical team and Daryl Conway and his staff and the doctors, instrumental. And even the people at testing every single day, there's a team of people that come in and test us each and every single day. And we have relationships with those people. It's funny. We've seen them every day for the last few months. And, you know, obviously they become part of our extended family, like you alluded to. And, you know, it's great to have that kind of support. And I do believe that, you know, Michigan is different. And I would love to say thank you to that whole team of people publicly, because they made this year happen. And without them, you know, we probably wouldn't have had a lot of opportunities that we have at this point.
No doubt. Really well said. Kim Barnes-Zarico, head coach of Michigan women's basketball. 6 seed. They will face off with Florida Gulf Coast, a 26-2 ball club, coming up Sunday, 3 o'clock. Thank goodness, coach, they put it separate on a different day from the men. Same time, but different day. So we'll be able to have hopefully 4 straight days of Michigan basketball coming up this weekend.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. It's always great to chat with you.
All right. Thanks so much, Coach. Yeah, go blue indeed. There's Kim Barnes-Zarico celebrating a Michigan berth in the NCAA tournament as the Wolverines again will take on Florida Gulf Coast coming up on Sunday.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Inside Michigan Basketball. If you missed any of the show, subscribe to MGoBlue Podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.